is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. What is a Gold Star family? And what are the responsibilities of the United States to Gold Star families about the loss of their loved ones? I welcome two men who are going to help me answer this question in part because it's early days now to resolve the Iraq War, the Afghanistan War, the War on Terror, all of the losses out there and all of the Gold Star families. I welcome Patrick Farr, who lost his son, Clay, in the Iraq War, and Richard Goldberg of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, who's here to help me understand how this relates to Iran and the suspect nuclear weapons program and the predation by the Iranian regime these last decades. Gentlemen, a very good evening to you. Patrick, I welcome you from California City, California, which you tell me is near Edwards Air Force Base. Your son, Army Specialist Clay Farr, before his 21st birthday, lost his life in Baghdad in 2006. How did he die, Patrick? What do you know?
Well, while he was on a mission, his Humvee was struck by an EFP bomb that was designed in Iran, and Iran used proxies to set and arm that bomb and use it against the American troops. And it's a devastating weapon, and he had only been in Iraq about 4 or 5 months when he was killed.
When he was killed. And his unit was struck. I mean, he was struck while driving a vehicle. Is that correct?
So, yes.
So it was a roadway in Baghdad that where the EFP had been planted for this effect.
Yeah, I think the American public is aware of an IED, but this is an EFP. It's similar to that. It's set on the side of the road. They can camouflage it very well. And it is a distinctive weapon. It will literally go through any armor the U.S. Military has. So it's very deadly, and it can be devastating if your vehicle is struck, and it will obviously penetrate the compartment. And it's just a horrible, horrible weapon.
Rich, what do we know about EFPs in Iran, about how they were manufactured, how they were deployed? Do we have clarity?
We do, and it really goes back several decades, the origins being in the 1990s with a different Iranian proxy, Hezbollah, used against the Israelis. We saw it most common. That IRGC-sponsored tactic moving to Iraq after the U.S. presence around 2004. We're talking about little devices, hard to see, hard to know they're there, shaped like a coffee can, maybe a little smaller, concave end. And it's packed with plastic explosives, and when the vehicle hits it, you know, it's going to rip through armor, rip through bodies and vehicles. It is quite deadly. Low cost for the Iranians, high cost for the U.S., and the EFP threat, the IED threat overall, was a high priority for the United States to try to figure out throughout the 2000s, mostly in Iraq and then also a bit in Afghanistan. And so this was absolutely Qasem Soleimani, the IRGC, trying to kill as many Americans as they could.
And at the time, 2006, did we know about its origins, about the involvement of the Iranian regime?
We absolutely did. Now some of that, is disputed as far as how much we knew, who we knew it was coming from, what the extent of involvement of Iran was. But listen, we knew that the Iranians were funding militias there in southern Iraq. We knew that they were planting bombs, IEDs, EFPs, and that was simply a reality. The number of casualties resulting from Iran-sponsored EFPs and IEDs is around 603 from last report from the Pentagon, which was updated in 2019. That's astonishing. And for Gold Star families like Patrick's, that requires justice on behalf of all of those who fell on behalf of the service of the United States.
Patrick, your son is buried at Arlington Cemetery. I read here two purple hearts, a bronze star, but we're going to come up to date now. This is 2022. You have signed a letter, NBC News is reporting, and others are as well, along with 1,200 Gold Star families to the President of the United States. What does the letter say? What do you ask the President to do?
Well, we asked the president that we understand that the administration doesn't want to lift the sanctions on Iran. But if it goes in the other direction, what we want the president the administration and the president himself to recognize is our judgments and our claims against Iran and all the Gold Star families that have suffered because of their terrorist activities. We're simply asking that before they unfreeze any of Iran's funds, that Iran pay those claims first and foremost.
The 1,200 Gold Star families, are you in communication with each other? Do you have a website that people can observe all these details?
I'm not personally in contact with any of the other Gold Star parents. We all have lives. There are support groups that I understand and I've seen. But my son's been gone for 16 years now. Well, actually, we're starting 17 next month. And it's taken a long, long time to get these cases through court. And we are still in court to this day in several lawsuits. So it's a slow process. I think, you know, as time goes by, we tend to move on with our lives. But we do want to keep, you know, at the forefront, you know, our fight against Iran in holding them accountable through the court system.
Right. Rich, is there precedent for what the Gold Star families are asking President Biden to acknowledge?
There is precedent, obviously, with different results. We can argue over whether or not the Sudan case is one that we should follow as far as the amount that was settled upon between the Trump administration and Sudan in just the past couple of years to try to, before normalizing any relationship with Sudan, require the government to pay its debt to victims of terrorism. For sure, we would have hoped that number to have been much, much higher based on what those judgments out there were. But at least it is precedent of saying you must repay the victims of terrorism that you sponsored here in America before we would normalize, before we'd lift any sort of sanctions, designations of terrorist sponsorship, et cetera. That, you know, should be foremost in our minds before any sanctions relief would be granted, along with other key requirements that we've long talked about of actual cessation of sponsorship of terrorism and the pursuit of weapons of mass destruction.
Patrick, have you heard a response from the administration or from any officials about this letter? It's a document with great weight.
Well, I know, and it's very important to the Gold Star families, but unfortunately, there's been no response.
And Rich, is that something that we expected? No response to? I mean, what I know about Gold Star families dates to the Second War and the Korean War. There was always an active correspondence. Is that not usual, Rich, in your experience? You're a member of the U.S. Naval Reserve. You keep well informed of military families.
Well, I recall having served in the past administration and working on this file, we did, in fact, have liaisonship with the families of the victims of terrorism. And our past president even held events with families of those terrorist attacks on certain anniversaries, including the Beirut families. It is longstanding that in Congress and the administration, there are conversations that go on to try to help advocate for these cases. Congress has passed laws in the past to try to address certain court decisions that have made these lawsuits more challenging. There's a great support bipartisan for families because these families are from all around the country in every congressional district in every state. And their congressional representatives also need to hear this message and communicate on their behalf to this administration that there can't be a silence in the face of this request. There has to be a response.
Patrick Farr is the father of Specialist Clay Farr, who lost his life in 2006 in Baghdad. He's part of 1,200 Gold Star families writing to the present president of the United States for justice in the face of the Iranian predation that is not only from 2006, but ongoing. Richard Goldberg of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.